Kai, I want you to Health Matters. I'm Big Girl, and Health Matters comes from Noongar Radio every second Wednesday at 11 o'clock and also replayed on a Sunday night at 9 o'clock, just after Inside Out. Well, this week is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV Awareness Week. It started on Monday, and tomorrow is World AIDS Day. So our topic today is HIV and AIDS. Joining me as guests in the studio today is Lisa Bastian from the Department of Health. Lisa is the manager of the Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Program. We also have from the WA AIDS Council, Shamir Rind, and he is the Health Promotion Officer of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander programs there. And our special guest is a young man living with HIV and a good friend of mine here, Hartley Williams. So I'd like to welcome you all. Lisa, thanks for coming in. And you're going to be talking about stats, so we'll have a bit of a yarn about that, and then we've got to let you go. So thank you very much for your time. Shamir, great to have you here, especially representing our mob and what's going on in the field there and what the WA AIDS Council is doing today. And also, Hartley, great to have you here, and you'll be sharing some of your experience as well. So welcome, everybody.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Shamir.
Thank you.
Lisa, firstly, can you tell us about HIV in WA and what are the stats looking like?
Yeah, well, thank you for this opportunity to talk about HIV today. Look, I think it's really important to say that there are very low numbers of HIV amongst Aboriginal and people within WA as there are in other parts of Australia, but it's there are some I suppose some kind of fairly unique aspects to HIV amongst Aboriginal people in WA, and that is that whilst it affects men who have sex with men, there's also a significant proportion of the HIV notifications in WA are transmitted through heterosexual sex, so male to female sex, and through injecting drug use. So whilst we get very small numbers of notifications each year amongst Aboriginal people, so about maybe 3 to 5 cases per year out of maybe 120 cases notified to the department, that would affect men who have sex with men, women, and maybe injecting drug users in the country areas as well as the metropolitan area.
Mm. Where do you get your stats from?
Under the Health Act, it's pathology providers are the place where you get your bloods taken, and doctors are compelled under the law to report notifiable infections, diseases to the department. HIV is one of them, so it's a legislative requirement. So HIV, along with other diseases such as measles and mumps and chlamydia and gonorrhea, all reported to the department, about 50 diseases.
Mm. Now, who wants to have a yarn about World AIDS Day, which is actually tomorrow?
Yep.
World that AIDS. Would be you, Shamir.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. World AIDS Day is held on the 1st of December each year. It has been running since 1988. The day is to raise awareness of HIV and AIDS, to show support for people living with HIV, remembering those who have passed away from HIV and AIDS-related diseases, as well as it also coincides actually with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV Awareness Week. So really it's a day to commemorate, to remember, to reflect, and to really keep those people in our thoughts, as well as get that conversation going, which is much needed.
And it's really important too, isn't it, to have this this week. It's an entire week as of the 1st of December.
Yep. The HIV Awareness Week started Monday the 28th of November, and that is a complete week. So, yeah, very, very important. Correct.
Well, having worked with the AIDS Council of New South Wales as part of our work over there with the Sex Workers Outreach Program, and also the AIDS Council of South Australia when they were operating, what's amazing is to see that the levels of promotional activities or campaigns that are available for awareness of HIV and AIDS programs and how that impacts on all of our community is quite incredible, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is really needed. And the week is a really good opportunity to get the message out to our mob in our way, whereas World AIDS Day is quite important to the general population. This HIV Awareness Week is really good for us to develop the resources in our way, get it out there to our mob, our way.
Yes. So, from your point of view and with the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV Awareness Week, what's happening this week or what have we missed? Because it started on Monday.
It did start on Monday. There are a lot of organisations involved in running in their local areas, small events like morning teas and presentations, so for their clients and staff to get involved, to just get that conversation started. The outcomes they want to achieve are not just within the week, they want that dialogue to continue throughout the year. It's mostly just about breaking down that stigma and that shame, helping people understand it is something we do need to talk about.
I like the fact, and I'm sure we'll all agree here in the studio, that remembering those who have passed is quite significant and a respectful thing to do. And I've chosen some music today that has been inspired by many artists that we will be quite familiar with in the topic of HIV and AIDS. And we're going to go to one by Mariah Carey and Boys to Men. And Mariah has said this song was inspired by people in her life who passed away, including those who had been living with AIDS. This is One Sweet Day on Health Matters, coming from the studios of Noongar Radio.
Sorry, I've never told you all I wanted to say, and now it's too late to hold you, 'cause you've gone away so far away.
Of Mariah Carey on 100.9 FM Health Matters here at Noongar Radio, and that was One Sweet Day. Lisa, I'm going to go back to you. We're talking about testing and results and research and stuff like that. Let's talk about confidentiality and privacy. I think that's a huge thing that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people will think about in a lot of testings. You know, where's my information going to go? I hope people don't find out. You know, I want to keep this to myself. I just want to take the step of having a test done.
Definitely. So it's a great issue to talk about. Firstly, all HIV testing, and indeed any testing that anybody has done with their doctor, should be informed. You know, you have to give consent to a test. The tests went for HIV testing particularly, so it's voluntary and informed consent, but the testing for HIV in WA, again, and this is a legislative, you know, it's based in the Health Act, that people do not, the tests are not submitted to the pathology labs as named tests. So it's a coded test. So the first two letters of your first name and your second name and your date of birth are used. So that information is confidential. And obviously doctors and nurses and anybody who works with the health department is bound by confidentiality. In terms of what happens then to that information and how it's reported to the department, it's reported to the department again as a coded result, and that's that information is held in a secure confidential database, and we, the department, only ever reports in non-identified ways on a kind of full quarterly reports to our sector, so we can track what's going on in the HIV epidemic and respond and plan accordingly.
Thanks, Lisa. That's really important for people to hear, hey. Hartley, let's talk about your testing. I mean, how did you decide to get the test done, and was it a hard thing for you to do?
Well, it was very much like a compulsion testing that we had to undergo as part of a health evaluation, which was quite important for us. So I was diagnosed in the year 2000. And initially it was quite a challenge to work through, because there were those who accepted, the HIV status, and there were others that were quite close-minded to it.
Which one of those were you?
No, I was very open to everything.
Very
open to everything. Probably because we come from a very, politically motivated, family structure. So there's a lot of role models within each of our families, and we all work very, very hard to ensure that everything that we're doing for our communities, and standing up for those that can't stand up for themselves, that we're really getting up there and ensuring that we've got representation in all sectors of the community, essentially. In a year, annually, completely clear, each year, I should say, they have the testing, so there's three or four testings per year, and as part of all of that, you contact your local GP or a local treating physician. They organise testing, so they just see what the counts are, the viral load, and from that they formulate a combination treatment to ensure that you can maintain and sustain a very healthy lifestyle while continuing to be as one with the entire community. So yeah, it's quite incredible.
So is testing something that you would recommend to others?
Well, if you're sexually active, because it's within that time slot of between 11 and 12 PM with respect to the presenter, it is really important to ensure that testing of any STI is ongoing, and that's something that we learnt whilst working with the Sex Workers Outreach Program, in the state of New South Wales. The reason for that, if you're coming into contact with anyone, it's important to ensure that you are practicing safe sex measures and advising the person that you come into contact with of a suspected break with HIV or a suspected connection with HIV as a virus or any of the other STIs. And as part of all of that, it's just ensuring that you're protected, because there are, I believe, Lisa, there are legislative requirements to ensure that there is an advice that's given to those that you come into contact with.
Definitely, yeah. So if you're diagnosed with HIV or indeed any other infectious disease, your doctor or a community nurse or an Aboriginal health worker might be involved in asking you who your contacts were, so those people can be confidentially contacted, and your details are never disclosed in that situation for, again, obvious reasons of confidentiality, so that people have the opportunity to be advised of their risk and get and have a test if they choose to, and start treatment if they choose to.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Harley. Yeah.
And it's certainly not a, like, there's a lot of progression with the, like, the treatments that are available with HIV nowadays. The way that it works in with our treating physicians, with respect to any of them that are listening, of course, once the tests, so that they extract a lot of the requirements to see what the blood counts are, and as part of all of that, they decide as to which combination therapy would be most suited to your current or existing levels or viral load, and that's how they manage it essentially. So for those that listen to everything that the practitioners or the treating physicians are advising as part of their prognosis or as part of their practice. What they do essentially is they ensure that there is a healthy lifestyle, so providing you eat well, you rest well, if you want to partake in any kind of activity, which could be deemed unlawful in some sense, but it's between the time spot of 11 and 12, so we respect that, then everything has to be done in moderation, like for those that are eligible.
Shamir, let's make sure that our listeners are up to date. What is HIV exactly? Can you?
Yep. So HIV stands for Human Immunodeficiency Virus. Basically, the HIV virus attacks your body's ability to fight off other viruses, so it reduces your immune system quite dramatically. And often people think of HIV and AIDS as something that go together, whereas it's not. Often on texts and things like that, you would see HIV/AIDS. AIDS stands for Acquired Immunodeficiency Syndrome. That is untreated HIV, basically. So untreated HIV left for about 7-odd years onwards will develop into AIDS. There are lots of treatments available, like Hartley discussed earlier, where HIV can be suppressed to the point where AIDS will not develop.
Are there any symptoms to HIV?
Yes, there are, but they are very different for everyone. It can range from sore throats, swollen lymph nodes, fevers. Some people may not even show any symptoms. So the best thing to do is always keep in mind what you've been at risk to recently and use your own judgment accordingly.
Did you have any of those symptoms, Hartley, or any different ones than Shamir's given us?
I would say 2000, what are we now? We're 2016. I'd say very much a reduction in the weight. Other than that, everything was quite normal. So, yeah.
We're going to go to some more music. This is Sarah McLachlan on Health Matters, and the track is called Hold On. Came out in 1993, inspired by the true story of a woman whose fiancé discovers that he has AIDS. Hold on, hold on to yourself. This is gonna hurt time. What is the hell that McLaughlin there with Hold On, and playing songs inspired by either HIV or AIDS is our topic today on Health Matters, and it's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV Awareness Week, started this Monday, and tomorrow is World AIDS Day. And still in the studio with me, Lisa had to go. Thank you, Lisa, for your time. Lisa was from the Department of Health and is the manager of the Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Program. But still with me, I have Shamir Rind, and he's from WA AIDS Council and a health promotion officer with the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander programs. And we have the deadly Hartley Williams here with us, and a good friend of mine living with HIV. And very important topic, as most of our topics are here on Health Matters every fortnight from 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, repeating on a Sunday night after Inside Out at 9 p.m. And we're going to now talk about preventative measures. How can HIV be prevented? Shamir, I'm going to go to you on this one.
Firstly, obviously, when having sex, using condoms, practicing safe sex, that's a huge preventative measure, especially condoms have a very good rate of keeping you safe, as well as preventing any unwanted pregnancies.
Definitely. But we have to say HIV, there's other ways of getting HIV?
Yes,
there is. Let's talk about that as well.
Yes, there is. With injecting drug use, not sharing your needles, that is very important. In this case, sharing is not caring. Your needles will contain traces of your blood, and anyone else who's also used those needles will also have traces of their blood on it too. So making sure you're not sharing your needles. You can exchange your needles at various needle and syringe exchange programs across the state. We have a mobile van at the WA AIDS Council that goes pretty much around Perth Metro all week. You can have a look at that on our website to check their schedule out. We also got a fixed site in West Perth, as well as Fremantle, that operate, West Perth operates Mondays to Fridays, and Fremantle's Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays. So, injecting drug use. There's another one, which is tattoo equipment as well.
Oh, that's a huge one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The ink, actually, that is used for tattooing, is a perfect basic a ground for the virus to live in, and if that ink is being shared across multiple people, obviously that tattooing equipment will pierce that person's skin using that ink, which contains traces of that person's blood. So you have to be on top of it, making sure when you're getting a tattoo you're using clean equipment, and if you're doing any injecting drug use as well, ensuring that your needles are clean and that they are yours. Do not share your needles. Go exchange them. The exchanges are free. We're available. Give us a call. Drop in, whatever you need to do, but stay safe.
Hmm. Can you just give us information on exactly what the WA AIDS Council does, so you can rattle off all your services now and give away your website address?
Okay,
go for it.
How long do we have? We have a lot of services at the WA AIDS Council. To begin with, we have counselling services available for people who are affected by HIV or who have people around them affected by HIV. So we can help with pre- and post-test counselling as well in our counselling. And if you're living with HIV and you need someone to talk to, we've got counsellors and case managers there that are available to help. Free of charge, but counselling services do have a small fee involved. You can find more information out about that on our website and giving us a call on 9482 0000. Other services we have is the M Clinic. That is a clinic for gay and men who have sex with men people. This is a fully confidential service, providing testing, advice, all sorts of things. They're running a cool promotion over this week over at Atsy Hall as well, where you can actually drop in for their services. So no need to book, just drop in, check out their website, which is mclinic.com.au, I think it is.
Where is that exactly?
Yeah, that's very close. So that's on Newcastle Street, just in North Perth. just on the other side of the railway tracks from the City West.
Okay. And your phone number again?
9482 0000. And if you want to check out our website, that's www.waaids.com. All of our services are listed there, as well as our AIDS line, which is an anonymous phone line you can call. If you have any questions regarding HIV or AIDS, if you feel like you may have been exposed, or you feel like you want to ask questions about anything you've done in the past that may have put you at risk, give that line a call. It's a completely confidential service, and someone trained will pick up the phone and answer all of your questions and concerns.
And do you get a lot of calls, Shamir?
We do. We do.
Can you give us an example of what people are ringing up for?
A lot of it is anxiety regarding, have I been exposed? You know, people are asking questions about, am I at risk? You know, I did certain activities over the weekend, and I now I'm worried. A lot of the time, people are being overcautious, which is good. You know, you've got to take care of yourself, and you've got to be alert and aware of your body and what you're doing. But if we feel like, you know, you could use a little extra help, or you do need to go and speak to someone further, we will provide you details with where you can go in your local area to speak to someone.
At the end of the program, we're going to have a bit of a myth buster, and it probably will contain some sexual references. So we're just letting our audience know now, if you have some young children, we would like you maybe to tune out or remove your children from listening range. And if you don't want to hear it, then obviously you don't have to listen to it, but that's at the end of the program. Now, Hartley, let's talk brother and sister here.
Michelle.
Hey, how have your friends and family and perhaps partner responded to your diagnosis?
Well, it's quite incredible, really. Like, I've had the same partner for 20 years. Like my partner's been awesome. Partner was married to a lady before being with me. Doesn't have anything at all in the 20 years that we've been together. And I'd say there's a lot of like ostracizing that can occur, particularly with like a lot of the networks, yeah, like a lot of the families, and I suppose that's just either a fear as to whether they're susceptible to being infected with anything. And I guess these kind of programs or these kind of platforms are designed to advise everyone that it's not the case at all. You're not susceptible to it just because you come into contact with somebody that may have it, providing they're practicing like all the safe the measures that are required for a healthy life. Family, I suppose coming from a high-profile family here in Western Australia, where we've got a lot of fans out there, yeah? So I think that's really important for everyone to remember. When we've got a lot of fans in all cross-sections of the industries, whether it be like the performing arts industry, or whether it be sporting industry, it's always wise to support those diverse, like the minority groups. So whether you like the way that they live their lives, and I think that's really important that we mention as well that HIV isn't just for like male to male or female to female. Like the numbers are increasing for the heterosexual community, I believe. Would that seem a fair assumption?
Yep, definitely.
You're so positive, Hartley. And you've danced all through this, literally, as a professional dancer, traditional, contemporary, and party dance.
Well, you know,
how do you stay so positive? I mean, and I'm asking you this question not because I'm a sticky bag, but we've probably got a lot of listeners listening into Health Matters now who may be sitting nervous, like Shamir said, and thinking, oh, I've done something on the weekend, I need to check this out. Or maybe just as some words of strength for not only people with HIV or AIDS, but also their supporters, or as you call them, fans, that are supporting them through their diagnosis and their life with HIV or AIDS. How do you stay so positive?
Well, it's amazing. I'm quite religious, yeah, as many of our like family would say, and like that represents both sides of the spectrum, particularly with those that say, oh, well, how can you be a Christian when you live that kind of lifestyle? Because we've all had that, haven't we, in all platforms. And we say, in response to all of that, with respect to those that are heads of our churches, and that's all doctrines, well, God is love. And that's it. So, that's something that we try to promote in all of our work. As a cultural dancer of 25 years, and I'm a director of the industry, and I've set up a lot of companies in that, I think the most, the motivating factor which keeps me, happy with my lifestyle, or with my life, I should say, with respect to those that are listening from the different religious doctrines, is very much a, just being able to believe in yourself, respect others. Not everyone's going to like you, but I suppose there's always two sides to a coin. We're not going to like everyone either. So, and that's just how it is, guys. And I suppose, what we have to do is we have to, accept, because there are stages of being able to accept, that, you may have, a cancerous growth, or you may have, HIV or any of the other STIs, working through all of that, being able to trust the person that you come into contact with, or those that are of the same network, and just strengthening a network that's appropriate, and remembering that there's sensitivity that's got to be maintained at all times, without expecting everyone to roll the red carpet out, as we hear from many of the community members out there. We don't want that. We just expect love and respect for each other, and sensitivity.
Oh, well said. Yeah. Very well said. So, Hartley, do you think HIV is a big concern for the Aboriginal community? And I know we've been talking about sensitivity, so we're definitely covering that in the program.
Well, everyone's becoming quite carefree nowadays, aren't they? So, and as we say to a lot of our colleagues in the law enforcement divisions, which I am not, I work within administrative law, as a civilian officer, essentially. What we advise everyone is when there are those, the huge festivals and everyone's celebrating, everyone can be quite carefree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I mean by that is, it's an all-in approach. And people are just out to have a good time.
Hmm.
So, and that can happen in all communities.
Absolutely.
I think it's just a case of everyone being supportive of each other, accepting that there are diversities, there are diverse cultures, in the community. And as part of all of that, you've just got to be able to to adjust, accept, trust. And maintain love at all times.
Yep.
You're listening to Health Matters, coming out of Noongar Radio every Wednesday morning 11 o'clock and replayed on Sunday night at 9 o'clock. And this week is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV Awareness Week, started on Monday. And tomorrow is World AIDS Day. And Hartley, you asked for a song, so we're going to play We Are Family, and it just puts the icing on the cake after your yarn there about the importance of supporting our mob, through no matter what,
Absolutely, yeah. Michelle, absolutely, Shamir.
And also, supporting your faith in God as well. I think that's really, really important. Obviously, got you through and remained you in a positive light there.
Yeah, absolutely. Respecting the foundations of each of the doctrines. And, I've had some wonderful discussions with those that are heads of churches of all doctrines in New South Wales, Western Australia, Central Australia, Victoria, Queensland. They all say the same thing. They refer to the doctrines. We know what verses they refer to. And they say it like, at the end of the day, it's between you and the Lord. So who has a right to make any comments about anyone else's life?
Hartley says that's the song to play, and we did. It's We Are Family, Sister Sledge on Health Matters, coming out of Noongar Radio today. I'm your host, Big Girl, as I am each fortnight on a Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Don't forget, the show does replay on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. And if you have someone who you think might benefit from listening, please get them to check out the replay. That is Sunday at 9 o'clock. Now we're going to do some myth busting now, not ghost busting. Mm-hmm. And we did mention earlier, just to prepare our audience, we will be doing straight talk, very straight talk. If you do have young children, switch off or move away. But yeah, here we go. I'm a little bit nervous about this, but we have warned you. So I'm going to pass this over to Hartley and Shamia as well. And Shamia is from the WA AIDS Council, and that is the topic today, AIDS and HIV. And this week is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV Awareness Week, started on Monday, and tomorrow is WA World's AIDS Day. So yeah, let's put it out there. Some ways, Shamir, and you would have experienced this at the AIDS Council, people's way of thinking that they might get HIV.
Yeah. A lot of people think HIV is AIDS, or HIV is like a sentence to AIDS, which it is not. Clearly it is not. There are a lot of treatment options available for people to suppress the HIV virus from developing into AIDS, and Hartley can also talk on that fairly shortly as well with the treatments that are available. In terms of the acts of acquiring HIV, a lot of people think, oh, you know, I use the same cutlery as someone, now do I have HIV? HIV is only shared through certain bodily fluids, and you've also got to remember there needs to be a point of entry for the HIV virus into your body. So that means you need to have an open cut or wound on your body for the HIV virus to actually get into your bloodstream with. For the example I used earlier as sharing cutlery, have you got a cut in your mouth with that cutlery? Did that cutlery actually have traces of someone's blood on it to begin with to actually transmit the HIV virus? Was the virus even present to begin with? So that person that you are sharing cutlery with, were they HIV positive? These are all things that amount to a lot of confusion for a lot of people, you know, that like things such as holding hands as well. Like, I was holding hands or shook hands with someone who had HIV, am I at risk? It's like, well, were their hands bleeding and were your hands bleeding and did blood actually get transmitted across? 99.999% of the time that's not true. So there are a lot of misconceptions about how it is acquired, and but in saying that, you know, people are looking after themselves, though I really invite those questions and I welcome those questions from people because it means they are aware and they are trying to be safe. But there are, like I said, a lot of myths.
And I reckon that's really important as well, Shamir, and like Michelle and Kathy in the studio with us. For example, like cutlery. Yeah, we'll just talk about that briefly. I recall, washing some dishes at, a family member's house, and, like, the family member looked at me and, said, you've got HIV? I heard you've got HIV. And I looked and I thought, well, everyone seems to talk about everyone else's lives in our family, so, we actually thought you already knew. it's amazing because the loving lady, she just looked at me and said, what? So you mean to say you can't catch anything at all? And I said, you know what, ma'am? I said, I've lived with the same partner for 20 years. I've got an undetectable viral load, which means that no one can ever catch anything from me. My partner of 20 years has never caught anything, at all. Mm-hmm. So, just to put everyone's mind at ease, here on the West Coast, have no intentions of coming into contact with anyone personally. There is a ring on my finger. But I think it's really important for everyone to remember that, no person has the right to ostracize another individual based on a presumption or, what they think is appropriate, because, not only is it discriminatory, but it's completely prejudicial. It's nasty.
Mm.
And I think it's important to remember that, unless you're engaging in activity, that could be of risk to anyone, and we say that word operatively, having worked for the Sex Workers Outreach Program, in New South Wales as an officer, and also the AIDS Council of South Australia as an officer, we get to see a lot of what happens in the community. Mm. So we organise a lot of major events, like for the Mardi Gras and the Pride Festivals, and like we support a lot of like social events, and we're supported by all of our officers at the federal level, state level, and local levels. But most importantly, the community level.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot that's happening, and instead of assuming that everyone's at risk because you've got your own misconceptions or preconcepted ideas, raise the awareness of it.
Mm. Yeah. And Shamir, what sexual acts won't give you HIV? You know, Because we're talking about people that are maybe fearful or have some kind of phobias, or they're just stereotyping. So
some people might think you cannot kiss a person with HIV. HIV cannot be transmitted via saliva, unless we're talking buckets full of saliva. There just isn't enough of the virus present in the small bits of saliva you would get from kissing someone. Going back to earlier, though, if you do have open cuts or wounds in your mouth and the person you're kissing also does, then there is that small risk. But in saying that, saliva generally does not. Now, this moves on to the other thing, which is blowjobs. Blowjobs, once again, very low-risk behaviour, but a little higher risk than kissing, because there could be blood involved with the person's genitals that you're providing oral on. Once again, not a very risky behaviour unless there is blood present. But semen can carry, as well as vaginal fluids and menstrual fluids. They can carry the HIV virus. If you have no open cuts or wounds in your mouth and you're providing oral sex for someone, and if there was a trace of blood coming from them, there's no cuts in your mouth and it goes straight to your stomach, the virus is pretty much as good as dead. There is no contact to your blood during that process. Better to be safe, though. You could have small nicks and wounds on your gums when you brush your teeth every morning. You've had a packet of chips. You know, they could cause little nicks on your gums and things like that, so better to be safe than sorry. If you know the person you're with poses a risk, but a lot of that stigma and a lot of that fear people have of what can I do with someone who has HIV, there's those things really need to be removed. But then when we're talking about things like anal sex, which is a high risk behavior, it is often people thinking the person, like, there are tops and bottoms to anal sex, so the bottom person is receiving and the top is the person giving. People think it's more risky for the top person, whereas it is more risky for the bottom person, because your anal cavity, like your intestinal lining, is a lot thinner, a lot more opportunity for that blood to be transmitted. And then going back to sort of missionary sex as well, that is also risky. Like I said, there is also, like we mentioned earlier, unplanned pregnancy.
Very much vaginal as well. If there's raw contact.
Yep.
Yeah, so between parts of the genitalia, then susceptible. And there's a lot of other STIs. So, we're saying HIV and AIDS, like, because it is HIV and AIDS week, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander week, and it's the eve of the World AIDS Day. So, so that's really important. And as adults, because we're specifying this at adults, of course, it's very much it's a thing of being able to talk, trust each other, be responsible, and just make sure that there is sensitivity in the way that each person speaks with to each other.
Absolutely.
Some other myths. HIV, is it hereditary?
No.
What about a woman, if she gets pregnant, will the child have HIV?
There is a risk of mother-to-child transmission.
Or AIDS, I should say, as well.
Yeah, so you won't be able to pass AIDS down, but you can pass HIV down, which we know develops into AIDS if left untreated.
Mm-hmm.
There is a risk, but that risk is very minimal with the treatments that are available at the moment. Plenty of people who have had children who were HIV positive have given birth to children who did not have HIV. I think the last case of a woman giving birth to a HIV positive child was decades ago, and that was an untreated pregnancy, so the person who had HIV was untreated.
We're going to come back and do a bit of a wrap-up on our topic today, which has been HIV and also AIDS. And, look, the music world has lost many talented people to AIDS, mostly during the 1980s and 90s in all genres. And they include one of my favourite singers from Queen, Freddie Mercury, disco singer Sylvester, Liberace, CCR's Tom Fogerty. Can you think of any more? You guys,
named most of them now.
Yeah, and you know, the loss of people to AIDS has inspired many other artists, you know, to write and sing about it. And one of Bruce Springsteen's most successful singles back in 1994 was The Streets of Philadelphia, which he wrote as the name for the AIDS-related drama Philadelphia. And it won Bruce an Oscar, Golden Globe and several Grammys. So we're going to go to that track and then come back and do a wrap-up.
Unrecognizable to myself, I saw my reflection in a window and didn't know my own face. Oh brother, gonna leave me wasting away on the streets of Philadelphia.
Philadelphia there, Bruce Springsteen. We're going to speed it up. We're running out of time. We hope that you've enjoyed Health Matters today. Don't forget, if you know someone that could benefit from hearing the program, it will replay Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Just with wrapping it up, thank you very much, Elisa Bastian and Shamir Rind, and also Hartley Williams, for having a chat with us about the topics of HIV and also AIDS, being Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander HIV Awareness Week. This week and tomorrow is World AIDS Day. What should people take away, Shamir?
There are a lot of preventative measures you can take to protect yourself from HIV. Use condoms during sex. PEP is an emergency medication that's available if you feel like you have been exposed to HIV very recently, and it is very effective. But really, the take-home messages are love one another, respect one another, don't share your needles. In this case, sharing is not caring. And really support one another. That's what we all really need. If you know someone living with HIV, just be nice. Don't assume, you know, don't assume anything. I hope we've busted a lot of the misconceptions some people may have about people living with HIV. People living with HIV live long, happy, healthy, normal lives, in some cases even healthier than people without HIV, because they're taking even greater care of their bodies than those who are HIV negative. So really, no, I think if you feel like you're at risk or you've been at risk, go get yourself tested. There is no shame in it.
Thank you, Shamir. Well, that's it for another Health Matters. Thank you again, Hartley, as well. And it was great for you to come on the program. You're very positive and very brave as well. Thank you.
Oh, well, we're all a good team. And, just drawing on all of those experiences of supporting the health sector. And thank you to Shamir and Lisa and Kathy for coming in. So, yeah, we're here to help. So
thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.